Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
See you there it is again. It's nerves.
Next time you're going to do it, think, I'm not going
to
do it.
No, but it doesn't work like that, because when it comes, you actually feel like you need to clear your throat. So the more you don't do it, that's...
Oh, well, let's see what happens if it doesn't. Right, just go like that, go.
See, I should have done it then, right,
go like that, and then I'll...
I can't do it!
No, but I want to know what happens if you don't.
All right, and then I'll try and carry on talking.
No, and then we'll go, right, you now want to cough, but don't, and let's see what happens.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
How's it now?
Well, it's fine at the moment, yeah.
I'm so desperate with this stuff now.
No, it's not happening now.
Okay, don't cough.
I won't cough.
You promise?
I'm not going to cough.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to my voiceover voice. And series 2, episode 4 of We're Not Playing Snooker, with me, Goldstein, and him over there.
Like my hat? Do you like it?
Ian Wright. California Love.
You can't not think of Dre, can you? And Tupac.
See, I don't know all that. Why do I think of Dre?
Because that's the song that him and Tupac made, California Love.
California, that one?
Yeah.
Oh, was that them, is it? That's a good tune. Yeah. I like that. Where'd you get the hat from?
LA.
All right, okay. You ready to move on with the show?
Let's rock.
We've got lots in it. As we always have. But you know what? We've got all the normal stuff. Lineker update, writer's chest, football stories. We've got everything, right? Mm-hmm. Everything. But, right, today, now usually we don't give dates out because it's like a timeless podcast. You can listen to this whenever you want, right? We never look back at last night's football. We never look ahead to the World Cup. We don't do anything like that. But the reason I do want to mention the date is because one of the things I wanted to speak to you about was recently I saw you went back to Highbury, which of course is not a football stadium anymore. But the bit where you used to play is actually still there. It's like gardens.
Yeah.
And that coincided with the fact that today is... 21 years ago.
To this very day.
Today, since you did what?
I broke the Arsenal record, Cliff Baston's record.
Of
179 goals.
Now that's mad. So I'm sat with you 21 years to the day after you scored the record-breaking goal.
So at this time, I was probably getting myself ready to... What would I be doing? Probably having pre-match or something now.
How do you feel? 21... I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because... It's really strange, and going back there and going through it and everything, what was going on, it was amazing and very emotional. I felt really quite, because when you're doing that, you don't realise what's going on at the time. You don't realise that something's happening that is pretty good in the history of the club.
We've spoken about this before in the last series, and I asked you about how many times you wore the t-shirt underneath with the 179.
About 5 games, yeah.
Okay, and then of course it was that moment where you lifted up the top and all that sort of stuff. When it happened, was there relief from your part because now you can move on? I always wonder when you hear the questions of you've gone 9 games without a goal, you scored in the was it?
I can't even remember how many games I went without scoring, to be honest. But it was relief. And you know what it was? It was the noise of the crowd I've not heard before then or after when I scored that goal.
Yeah, tell me about the goal.
It was quite an easy goal to score because it was a yard tapping. But what happened was the build-up, Dennis done some great stuff. And I remember Goodney Bergson, who was playing at the back for them. Me and Goodney was running towards the box because Dennis broke. And I was running towards the box. But what I done was I clipped him on purpose. I clipped him and then acted like I'm just jumping over him. It's perfect because in the end, Goodney would have been...
You fouled him, I mean.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So what would have happened was is that Goodney would have probably been coming in the box with me. He'd have probably challenged me. I wouldn't have had a tap in. But like, I kind of tripped Goodney up and then acted like, oh, sorry. Oh, just got to run over him. Oh, sorry. And then when it went in, then Dennis had his shot. And then Patrick came in and challenged someone. Bam. And then it just, the ball just popped out. Just rolling towards the goal. Just
did it happen in slow motion at the time?
It was one of those situations where, you know, as a centre forward, you're just told, you've got to follow everything in. Because if I didn't follow that in, or I was waiting to see what was happening with Dennis first having his go and then Patrick having his go, probably a defender would have been able to be there to clear it. But you just got to follow everything in as a striker. So.
And do you have commentary in your head? Do you have, go on, Righty, do you have that? Because I used to play football, and like the ball would come out, I used to have Brian Moore.
You used to do your own commentary. With my brother.
Don't say the surgeon run.
That's what my brother used to do, his own commentary when we were playing.
Yeah.
Takes one on, takes two.
That's right.
Yeah,
out loud.
It, yeah. Pulls it back and lays it off. My brother used to do that.
Did you ever have that?
No, but when that happened, now that you think of it, I couldn't believe it. It was like, that's what happened. That was the emotion and the reaction at that time when I saw, because I thought Patrick was gonna tap it in, because Patrick came in and challenged someone and it was rolling towards a goal. And as it just was rolling, it was almost as if everything else just stopped and it said, no, this is your moment, go on, you go and tap that in, Ian.
At what minute in the game did it come?
Can't remember.
Early or late?
I can't remember, first half.
Okay, so it was nice, you could...
It was unbelievable.
When you score a goal like that, and it's a tapping, as you said, is it the same feeling as a 35-yard screamer?
Yeah.
Always, or just that goal?
That will go down as... My best goal significantly, for significance, because of what it meant and what I achieved by scoring that particular goal. The easiest goal I've ever scored in my life.
How mad is that?
Yeah, you know, even when I've been playing like Sunday morning football, that would have been the easiest goal I've ever scored in my life. Unmissable.
And the feeling you get from that goal
is better than any feeling I've had, even scoring for England, even scoring at Wembley.
Okay, hold on.
In the finals.
Is it better than sex, that feeling?
Nothing's better than sex. I remember...
Is it not?
No. Because I remember when I first started to play at Palace, and, you know, my early doors when they was asking about interviews and, you know, people saying, would you... You know what I mean? When I was even younger, you know what I mean? Would you rather score a goal or have sex? And I'll tell you when it happened. Cyril Regis scored that unbelievable goal when he took
West Brom, halfway line.
And then afterwards, I think it was something to do with the 3 degrees were in town. And remember then they doing that with him, Brendan Batson, and might have been Laurie Cunningham. I think it was Laurie Cunningham talking about. And I remember after the game, he scored that goal and they said, would you rather score that goal or something, to go on a date with one of the three degrees or anything? And he said, score the goal. You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, wow, that is so professional. He just wants to score the goal instead of going out with that unbelievably beautiful woman. And I, when I was younger, thought to myself, yeah, scoring a goal must be better than sex. Must be.
And?
It's not.
Nowhere
near.
Is it not?
It's no.
You scored a cup final goal, yeah?
Yeah.
So that and adulation.
England, and scoring for England against like Italy, or scoring for England at Wembley.
Okay, here's the question. What's the biggest goal you've scored then? That's given you the biggest adrenaline rush?
Biggest FA Cup final, Crystal Palace.
Okay, against Man United. Yeah, come on, as a sub.
That one broke your heart, didn't it? Broke your heart.
At the time, I wasn't happy, but of course the end result didn't break my heart.
Yeah.
So you've come on as a sub. You've got a point to prove.
Don't just like something in my history.
No, I'm not. I'm building it up. I'm building it up.
Yeah, but you're building it up, but it's the way you kind of put it down. Like, yeah, it didn't matter because we won in the end, so shut your mouth.
Oh, we did win.
So
shut your mouth.
But don't, it's a memory that means a lot to me.
It did break.
Go on, go away. Okay. Where was you?
So you're on the subs bench to begin with. Obviously you're a bit pissed off with Koppel, I imagine.
I was pissed off, very pissed off.
Right. You come on to prove a point, and not only do you prove one point, I think you prove 2 points.
It's unbelievable. Okay. You know something, it's in respect of a goal. Now that was going in slow motion. Because I came on 73 minutes. And I think it would have been my first touch when Mark Bright laid it off. Richard Shaw challenged in the midfield, and then it broke to Mark Bright, who turned it round to me, and then I had to take on Phelan and Pallister. And that, when the ball broke to me, that is when you hear people say everything else kind of stood still around you. It's fucking unbelievable. So when I went past Phelan, and cut back inside on Pallister really quickly. And as I cut back inside, everything happened really quickly in my head. And then when I cut back inside, I saw a lot of goal over to Leighton's left. And I said, let me curl it over there. I didn't curl it as far as I'd like to, but I hit it with enough pace that went under him, went round him because he didn't get down. And then as soon as the ball goes in, that's what the noise wakes you up out of this thing, whatever it was. Because it's only when you think back now and I look at the goal, I see the goal in real time now, I remember. It does. Something happens.
And so that feeling where you, I think, I mean, I would never know, but I'm guessing you just lose the plot. You just, everything goes.
I was emotional because remember, at the FA Cup final was the game. When we were all growing up, you know what I mean? Remember, I'm 54. You know, my first FA Cup final was 1970, 71. I think it was Chelsea, Leeds, and then Arsenal, Liverpool. And those are my first real memories of FA. And ever since that, I watched literally all of them. And so the FA Cup was the football match I wanted to play at Wembley in those goals. You know, those goals with that unbelievable net, the tight net. You know what I mean? It was just like to score, like, honestly, I couldn't believe it. And so once the ball hit the net, everything woke up. And then I went very emotional. And the thing what woke me up out of the emotional state that I found myself in, because if you look at it, if you watch, you know, Wheel Away celebrating, I've got a real contorted face. And it was like a face where I was just getting ready to cry. But then I fell on the floor and everybody bundled me. And what got me out of that that emotional state of wanting to cry, because I couldn't believe it, was the fact that I couldn't take the bundle. It was like, I couldn't breathe. Everyone was on top of me. So in the end, I started to fight for people to get off me. Then they got off. And then you got up and it was like, I've just scored in the FA Cup final against Manchester United.
Because that's what we all... I've done that many times in my garden. I've scored in an FA Cup final. That's what we all want to do as a kid. But you've done it. Not once.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Did you have a chance for a hat-trick?
No.
Did you not?
No.
Were you thinking, oh, please, one more? Were you getting greedy?
Well, to be honest, no. But I did know that Stan Mortensen is the only person to score a hat-trick in the FA Cup final.
In a cup final that's not named after him.
Yeah.
Amazing, that,
Stanley
isn't
Matthews, it's horrific. Stanley Matthews. But, you know, it is something that... It's weird, isn't it? That no one has done that in the FA Cup, apart from Stan Mortensen.
And he didn't even get the cup final.
Didn't even get the credit for it. But, you know, it's done.
You know the inventor of the Segway? You know the Segway?
Yes.
Do you know how he died?
No, well.
On his Segway, he lost control and went over a cliff.
You just think to yourself, why would you... You're kind of asking for trouble there, aren't you? If you're going to be on your Segway, you think to yourself, I don't want to be in and around a cliff just in case I lose control. And, you know, can you imagine losing control of something you've invented?
Don't go near the cliff. It's all right. I invented
it. I invented it. It'd be fine.
But go near it. No.
But you think to yourself, why would you go near a cliff with a Segway? Why would you do that? Because people say, yeah, he died. He fell off a cliff on his Segway. So first thing you're going to think is, what's he doing near a cliff?
What do you think he thought when he was falling? Do you think he was thinking, oh, bollocks? Fucking press forward and not reverse. Fuck. Why did I knew I should have put fucking reverse at the front.
But you know the thing about it is you do think that. What are people... See, now you're taking it to a dark place because now he's falling off a cliff. He's getting ready to die. You're saying, what's he thinking?
I often wonder... This is really dark. I often wonder, if you fall off a cliff, right, for argument's sake, do you have a heart attack before you hit the ground?
You hope so. Because, like, you wouldn't want to... Let's say, for instance,
I'm going to Google the inventor. Go on.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to fall from a great height and...
Oh, here we go.
How did he die?
Oh, this is quite sad. Jim...
Segway.
Heseldon.
Why isn't it called a Heseldon then?
I don't know.
Why is it called
a British business? A British business... I can't say businessman.
You want to say it?
Say it.
Businessman.
Businessman.
It's because the British...
Oh, yeah. Before. So you try and say British...
British businessman.
A British businessman. I can't say it.
Good. A British businessman.
I'm not going to move on till I can get that out.
All right, hang on.
A British businessman.
You genuinely can't do it. Look at your mouth. I can see your mouth. It can't do it.
There my brain's going, what? Now what?
It's like me. I can't say the letter...
You can't say...
I can't say the letter A followed by an H. It really does cause me problems.
Name a word with that.
I don't know, something that begins with A, as an H after it, like some. And here.
Good say.
And here.
But the A's got an N after it.
Yeah, but the thing is that it's the two words I can't. People used to send me like slaughter me all the time saying can't even pronounce his H's, and I genuinely have to think about my H's.
Can you say ad hoc?
Ad hoc. But I genuinely have to think about
it. Say it
ad hoc.
You have to think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Shall I have another go?
Yeah.
A British businessman.
Yeah, you can.
Oh my God.
We're gonna have to cut this down.
Businessman.
Business. Business. Come on.
A British businessman.
Yes. There we go.
Who bought the Segway company. Oh, he bought it. Less than a year ago, died after riding one of the scooters off a cliff. Ah, so he didn't invent it. He bought the company. And into a river.
Didn't really, yeah, he didn't know. So he did, obviously he wasn't clued up on how to function.
No.
And went into a river. Why? You see, what was he doing by the river? It's just...
He's got the picture. Oh, fucking hell. He's got the picture of the cliff.
Let me see. And that red arrow, look. Like to say...
Showing down.
Just got a red arrow going down, like to think, if he's fallen off a cliff, I think we know he's gone down.
I wonder what direction he fell. I wonder how gravity worked on that. Oh, it went down.
Google that, everybody, and just look at the red arrow.
Right, time for Lineker update. Now, we didn't have one last week because your SIM card had broke or your phone had broke.
Yeah.
Everything's fine now?
Yep.
Okay. Do I need to update people where we're at? I mean, I don't even know why we're doing this anymore, if I'm being brutally honest with you.
Well, because
nothing's going to happen.
You're sad and desperate for like, I don't know.
I'm not.
There's a desperate... I've said it from episode one in first series.
Yeah.
It's a desperation kind of thing. It's nothing to do with... trying to fill the show or anything because
I've
got loads of stuff to fill it with.
I don't think I can lose now because the listener knows that I'm in the right and Lineker's in the wrong for not unblocking me.
Yeah, but if the listener listens to what...
The listener listens.
If the listener's listening to what you're saying,
yeah.
As soon as you hear something you're not really happy with and that, you're very...
The listener has now listened to series one and halfway through series two and knows that I'm a nice person. They've got the real me.
You're very abusive when you don't hear what
Fuck
you want.
Fuck off.
So, nice. So here we go. Let me have a look. So, the question I asked was, as the start of a new year, new beginnings and all that, would you consider forgetting the past and unblocking my friend Andy Goldstein?
I like, because you put in new year.
Yep.
Right? Forget what's happened.
Exactly.
And you put in the most important line, my friend, as if to say I'm on team right.
Well,
I'm part of your gang.
No, you're my friend.
Yeah, but like, you know, like when you're in a mob movie,
so what,
and they go, like in, what's your name, Donnie Brasco goes, meet our friend. It's like part of the family, right? So that's what you're implying to Lineker, is that I'm part of your family.
Okay, well...
So this will be interesting, because now he's going to have to unblock. Now he's going to go, yeah, okay, no problem.
Okay, do you want to hear what he said?
Yeah, just read it again, and then read his reply straight after.
Okay. As it's the start of the new year, new beginnings and all that, would you consider forgetting the past and unblocking my friend, Andy Goldstein?
Love it.
In which he replies, I have a policy. Abusive behavior is a lifetime ban. Relentless irritation is a 5-year ban. Andy comes under the latter. So let's review it in 3.5 years. Wait a minute.
There's more. Fucking hell.
There's more. And this bit is really cool, right? Because he says, as he appears to be your friend and you are very important to me, this is what he's saying.
I like that. This is good.
I may be willing to reduce the blocking period to another 3.3 years, promising future good behavior.
Oh, hold on. So you might totally, so minus 3.5 years is zero?
No. Instead of 3.5 years,
yeah,
he's going to ban you. For 3.3 years. Look at your face.
Well, I don't get the last bit.
Because 3.5 years.
Right.
So that's like 3.5 years. So what, 3 years and 6 months?
Right. And now he's going to reduce it to 3.3.
Three years and 3 months instead of 3 years and 6 months. So it's 3.5 years.
Fucking hell. Honestly, I don't know why we bother doing this anymore. It's purely for your entertainment.
It's not for my entertainment.
See, why I've,
said,
my, why
I've said from the start, right? I said from the start with this. What are you doing? Why are we doing it? It's just, there's a, why do you need, why do you need him to unblock you so bad?
Don't fucking know anymore.
I love it.
It just, are you sure you two aren't, do you speak about this at all? When you
no!
On MOTD?
No! No, you don't because say, it's embarrassing. Right, no, because you know what? It would be embarrassing.
It'll you be don't embarrassing. Mention it at all? You don't mention it at all?
No, I don't mention it. I don't mention it. You know what I mean? And the thing is, he's obviously now, he knows people are saying stuff.
Yeah, on social media.
Right. But I don't
have a
speak
heart.
To him.
Have a heart, Lineker.
I don't speak to him and say, like, oh, you know that, we're not joking in respect of trying to unblock him. It's something that he desperately wants.
I don't desperately want it. Oh, you're such a fucking wanker.
Look, he jumped in. Sorry, everyone, as Andy Goldstein jumping in there. I don't say to him, listen, you know the Andy Goldstein thing, do we? You know, we, don't do it. I won't do that. Because you're my friend and I love you and that, and that's why we're doing it, because you continuously ask me to do it. And I've said from series one, I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable that you're kind of, there's a grovelly vibe about
it. It's not grovelly. I've died it again, haven't I? Someone clear this water so, up.
Someone frame the ring. The ring. No, it's fine.
So I've got just over a three-year ban, yeah?
Yeah.
At the moment.
Oh, gosh. 3.3
months. So if we do a series every year of this, okay, by series five, we could be looking at the unblocking. So every cloud, yeah?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, that's something to look forward to. Are we going to do another Lineker update on next week's show? There's no point, is there?
Well, to be honest, if you ask me, I wouldn't do it. But, you know, I quite like the answers, yeah. If I'm going to do it.
I'll bring me shorts next week. What relationship did you and do footballers have with refs on and off the pitch? Any?
Well, Howard, for me, Howard's the best. You know, what's our second name again? That man, yeah, man, the one who's a Man United. See, you've lost his name as well, haven't you?
Yeah, you know why? Because when you went Howard, in my head, Howard Kittle from Dallas. Why the fuck? That's 30 years old.
What's Howard?
Howard Webb.
Howard Webb. Right, so Howard and...
Webby.
Is that we I think it's when he started doing some stuff on the station, BT... and we've done a lot. We really got to know him very, very well. You know, and you realise exactly what they're going through and what's happening. Someone like Graham Pohl, can't stand the fella.
Why?
Because of the power, he loved the fact that he had that power, you know, calling people by their nicknames and stuff like that.
Did he?
Yeah, he was the most annoying one, because you know that he was just like, there was a sycophanty vibe about him that was really like, just fuck off, will you? And even when he started doing the BT stuff, I was quite pleased I stopped working with BT when he was doing, because I couldn't like...
fake it.
Yeah, I couldn't fake, you know what I mean? I didn't really get into conversation with him really, because there's a few times on the pitch where he just absolutely just...
Look, give me an example.
Like, for instance, when, you know, if you had a foul, he was going to book you. And like, you're saying, what are you talking? And he said, he'd tell you to shut up, come here. Talk to you like that. Come here now, like this. And you think to yourself, who the fuck are you talking to like that? Do you know what I mean?
So what would Howard Webb do then? What's
no,
the how,
no, the thing is, I don't think I refereed, no. But when you watch him, he was how a referee should be. That's like Kalina. You know what I mean? The best, Pierluigi. You know, he's the...
You planned him?
Yeah, played under him. And you know that he's in total charge. It's nothing else apart from officiating that game the best possible way he can. You know what I mean? Not for Graham Pohl, not for me. You know what I mean? It's all about him.
Does the ref come in to the dressing room before the game?
No.
You don't speak to him at all?
No, no, no.
He doesn't say, right, listen, boys, I'm going to be quite tough on this game. Any yellow cards are going to be dished out straight away.
No. I remember when they used to check the boots, you know what I mean? They used to all come in. check the studs in that.
Who used to do that?
The referee and the linesman would come in and
before
check the studs.
Before a game, they check every player's studs?
Yeah, check the studs. So when you're coming out of the dressing room, they just check the studs. They just wipe their hands down the six studs, see if there's any sharpness or anything like that. But people like Roger Milford, Keith Cooper, Dermot Gallagher really got on well with. And you know, funnily enough, Jeff Winter got on really well with Jeff. Roger Milford, way back in the day, used to wear
grey curly hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
He used to wear the sweat bands and everything. Referees like those old referees like those guys, they would they'd talk to you. Don't wave your arms. Dermot Gallagher would always say, say whatever you want. I don't care what you swear and say at me. Just don't wave your arms at me. Don't point your fingers at me like that. You know, which made sense. So you could say, for fuck's sake, Dermot, Jesus. And he says, yes, yes, it's okay. But yeah, just let me have a word. Let me have a word. Just have a quick word. And then you get like Howard Webb and Riley, Mike Riley, fucking hell. Can't stand that bloke. Another one that, you know what I mean, he treats you like, obviously, he's totally enjoying the power that he's got. But like, if I'm going to be totally honest, it was Graham Pohl was the worst. Grandpa just can't.
Does it change you as a footballer when you're on the field knowing who's reffing? You go like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And does it change the way you play, i.e.?
No. But the thing with someone like Graham Pohl, I knew I was getting booked. Same with Mike Riley. Knew I was getting booked playing the natural game that I played.
So do you think some refs had their favourites and they had players that they didn't like?
I don't know. But like, they knew, you know what I mean? I remember when he'd say, right. I said, don't call me fucking right. I don't know you. You ain't my mate. And so when you're in like that, then anything that happens, like, you know what I mean, they say something, they book you for swearing, or and then all of a sudden you get booked, and then people say, oh, fucking, I want to keep his mouth shut. Get booked for dissent. What's this? What's that? What do you mean dissent? You're getting booked for dissent. You say, oh, for fuck's sake, how's that a foul? And he booked you.
Well, and he would say, I'm not booking you for the foul, I'm booking you because you just swore.
No. What he'll do is that, like, things are happening, something might have happened, a foul or something, and then he'll stop the game because, the game's going on, he'll go, stop the game, especially away from home. He'll blow the whistle and stop the game, call you over, and that way he does. And you're saying, what? What the fuck, man, what? And he'll call you over, and then to that point where he does that hand, points to you and go like that, and then he'll book you, and then people say, oh, that's obviously for dissent. And you think, what a fucking wanker. And he'll say, you swear one more time and you're off. And then you have to, you're like that.
But there are other refs you could swear at.
Yeah, because it's not, the thing is, you're not saying it in a way where you effing this and that. You're not actually swearing at him. You're swearing about the situation. And you say, what's that got to do with you? I'm not swearing at you. Dissent. That kind of stuff.
Because it is a cauldron of emotion, isn't it? Like no other. So I agree with you. As long as you're not being rude when you swear, I know that sounds a contradiction, but you know what I mean? As long as you're not directing your anger towards him rather than you're just showing your frustration, I think you should be allowed to swear.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now it's time for I Can Make You Love Me.
Oh.
All right, now if you don't know what this is, in 1997, a group of psychologists claimed to have found 36 questions which could make two strangers fall in love. Now, before we did these podcasts, We weren't that close. We weren't as close as we are now. But we've done these every week. We do about three or four of these. Mm. I'm hoping to get the professor on one week who wrote them. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
I'd love to ask him.
What would you ask him?
What made you think of it? Why? Why those particular questions? Right. With everything you could say and do to try and get two people to why those? What? How'd you come up with them questions?
Right. Wouldn't it be funny if he's divorced? Just didn't work out. So every week we've been doing this, right? With the aim that on the first podcast we found out that if I was in a burning building with G-Force, Gary Lineker, you would save him, not me.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that after we do these questions every week, all different ones, part of the 36, that on the last podcast I'm going to ask you the question again, who would you save, burning building?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, because we know each other a lot more now, you would save me rather than him. All right?
I'd probably try and save you both if that's the case.
That's changed for the first time.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. You know, I mean, it's not. You could be a stranger.
Changed.
I wouldn't. Yeah, but
that's
if it's
changed.
A burning. Yeah, but if it's a burning building and Gary Lineker was in there, and a total stranger, and I could save you both, I would.
Okay, but you can only save one. That's obviously the rule. Otherwise, it's pointless even asking that question. Otherwise, I'm saying, would you let someone die?
Yeah.
So it's only one.
Okay, so right. Gary Lineker.
We don't need to answer that yet.
Okay, right, probably. Will.
Well, there's no point. There's no point. There's no point. Right, upsetting someone on purpose, is it?
Well, I'm not upsetting you, but you've got the questions to answer.
Right.
Ask me the questions.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
If you could wake up tomorrow having gained...
You're going to start again, aren't you?
If you could wake up tomorrow... I'm going to leave all that in.
Yeah.
If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be? Now, I don't know if we chuck in, like, superhero status.
No, let's not do superhero.
X-ray vision, you pervert.
No.
It's going to be that.
You know what I'd have? Unbelievable memory. Remember everything that I read.
Have you got bad memory?
It's not great. You know, like, for instance, I remember doing the television programs and stuff like that, and I'd literally have to read things over and over and over and over again.
But I bet you can remember, like, your first goal.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt.
It's weird, isn't
it?
So you've got a good memory, you just
but
choose
on the right, to... on the right, yeah, with the right things. It's a selective good memory.
Yeah.
But like, that's the kind of stuff because I'm still in wonder about how these actors remember their lines.
Yeah, but it's a job, righty.
Yeah, but
they've trained their brain to do that.
But like,
I know a few.
There's
actresses,
a lot of people
right?
who are not actors who can train their brain. I just wish I had a better memory to remember. Like stats and things that come in.
Oh, here's a question for you. So you know you see like University Challenge, right? And they've always got brainy people on it.
You know, I the other day I nearly answered a question on that.
Was that name?
can't remember it.
Right, you can't remember how I want to say. But here's the thing: are they clever or do they just have amazing memories? Because the question would be like in 1872, the three people that
that's because they're studious and they've studied it.
Yeah,
and
but
so
is
they
that
remember
clever
it.
Or is that just a good memory?
Well, what we can say is that education all just memory, or are you brainy, or are you actually
brainy? But, so like, here's my thing: a mathematician, right? Will know formulas and will work out stuff. So his brain has to work.
Mm.
But if you're a historian,
yeah, but he's still remembering a load of that stuff, isn't he?
Yeah, but every day there'll be a new sum. But if you're a historian, you've got all your information.
Mm.
You don't have all. You got to do is remember it. So people on quiz shows.
Yeah, but then the thing is, to remember it, you know, is still.
Well, is that clever or is that just you got a good memory?
It's a good question. I'll say it's probably both because for you to retain the information and then remember it, you've got to have some form of capabilities brain wise. You know, something that I wish I could.
So it goes back
to when I was younger. I didn't pay enough attention at school, and I think I had a lot more about me academically. So it really annoys me that I didn't pay enough attention, and that's why I constantly feel like I'm trying to catch up.
Have you noticed that you've not coughed once?
Yeah, I have.
Are you're doing it, making a conscious decision tonight?
Yeah.
You're doing well.
Yeah.
See if you can get to the end of the podcast about cough.
Okay.
Now you want to cough, don't you?
No, I don't know.
What's the matter? Why you've gone all.
Because I'm thinking about the memory and are you intelligent or is it just a good memory? Because I was saying, when you study at school and you do your mock exams and your exams and you're doing all that revising, the revising is just all about memory. The more you remember and you get back, you put on that exam paper, you're going to get through your exams and get your A levels and get all your. So what I'm saying is that when you get out to the real world and then you get real common sense problems, that's when the brain kicks in, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know? But that would be yours, would it? Better memory.
Better memory. I'd like to have a better memory.
I don't know what mine would be. Having what gained any one quality or ability. I mean, you look at me and you think perfection, so I wouldn't change anything.
Even your nose or not?
Yeah, okay, here's the thing. If I had a smaller nose, I've got a massive head.
Yeah.
If I... Oh, no need to...
Well, no, I'm just saying. I'm just... You said it yourself. I'm just saying, yeah. I agree.
If I had a small nose, that would look weird.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have a small nose with the way your head is.
But that's what I'm saying. If I had I keep my head.
Yeah.
Right? But all of a sudden, I answer the question.
That's why when people with their natural heads and what, and then they have a nose job. And then they do this. I looked at a lady the other day and it was sad.
How old was she?
She must have been 40, 42-ish.
Right.
She's had so much work done. She's obviously, before she had the work done, she was a very attractive lady. She's probably gone through her whole life getting compliments on how attractive she is. And then she's got to her 40s, because she's about 42, 43. And she's now starting to look at herself thinking, probably, because she's had so much work done, and she probably would have started earlier, like in her 30s, because she's trying to keep it, trying to hold back time. And she was uglier. She's trying to do...
Lips, nose,
yeah,
eyes.
So her eyes were too wide.
Well, that's not plastic surgery. That's just how she's born.
No, because obviously it's the facelift. So the face, her eyes.
They're too high, not wide. Not like either side of the nose.
Yeah, so
her
eyes are like that.
She's like startled.
Right, yeah. Cheekbones are not right because they're up like that as well.
Too high.
Right, so she looks like she's like, that was horrible.
Like in pain, you look like you stepped on a plug.
And her lips.
Yeah, I don't get the lip thing.
So, you know, you think to yourself, you know what, it really makes me sad to see people like that because they obviously cannot deal with the fact that they are getting to a stage and an age in their life where people may not give them the same compliments, but they're getting older with the people who gave them those compliments when they were at the same age and stuff like that. So they're going to still get the same compliments if you do not touch your face and that. But you've just got to leave the 30s and the 20s and that's gone. You've just got to go into the 40s and the 50s and the 60s how you are, because it's so sad to see these women. They've actually changed their faces and they look uglier than they were.
Yeah, but there's a lot of pressure on women nowadays. I think men can grow old gracefully. I think men look better as we get older.
I think that women look... Now, we've got to a situation where women look so good now if they've not done any work that you genuinely notice it more.
Yeah, I agree.
You notice it more. But it's too late for some of these women. You know, what they've done to their faces. I find it really sad because they go home and they're chasing something that is just absolutely just making them look more and more grotesque.
I think if I was going to have one ability, it would be to sing.
Anyone in particular, like any voice in particular? Yeah, you're right. I'd
like to be able to hold a note.
No, would you like to have a distinctive voice?
I'd like to be able to sing like what's his name? Who's a ginger fella? Ed Sheeran.
How can you say that?
What?
How can anyone forget Ed Sheeran?
I forgot his name.
You cannot forget Ed Sheeran.
I didn't.
Name.
I went, who's a ginger fella? Ed Sheeran.
So because you're remembering Ed Sheeran simply because of his gingerness.
Oh, and his voice, hence me going, I'd like to sing like Ed
Sheeran. Yeah, but the first thing I think of when I think of singer and great English singer, British singer and this and that, Ed Sheeran, it's nothing to do with his gingerness that makes me bring up Ed Sheeran's name. I think that's...
If I went, name a famous ginger.
Yeah, but that's just...
Who are you answering
stereotyping.
With? Who are you answering with?
Elton John.
He's not ginger.
He was.
Was he? I thought he had no hair.
He had hair when he started out. I'm sure Elton John was maybe a ginger.
No, I don't think you've got that right.
Well, if I haven't, then you know what I mean. I've seen him ginger, maybe.
Elton John ginger, maybe he wasn't.
But like, yeah, I really feel that's really disrespectful to
Why?
Ed Sheeran.
Why? I didn't go the shit ginger-headed fella. I just said ginger. Like if someone went, who's that footballer who's played for England and Arsenal? I go, what one? Yeah, the bald one, black fella. Oh, righty. It's a description.
Yeah, but that's different than
why?
The ginger.
All right, okay, here's your question.
Go on.
Who's a fella that played for Arsenal and had ginger curly hair? Ray Parlour?
No, blonde curly hair.
He was ginger.
Are you taking a piss?
Ray Parlour, everyone
Ray
knows.
Ray Parlour is not ginger.
Well, he's not blonde.
He's
strawberry.
He's not ginger, Ray Parlour.
All right. Who's the Arsenal player that had curly blonde hair?
Ray Parlour.
Right. Well, why haven't you had a go at me for saying, oh, blonde, you're blondest?
Because I can't believe that you'd say, hang on, who's that ginger singer, Ed Sheeran? I'd think that singer, Ed Sheeran. I don't
yeah,
need
but you describe someone.
Yeah, but that's, you don't need to mention
all right, let me ask you this. If I was describing you and I went the black fella with glasses, is that racist?
Yeah, because there's loads of black guys with glasses. It's not racist.
Well, it's loads of ginger fellas.
What, great singers?
Ah, that's why I used the ginger, so you could distinguish I was talking about Sheeran.
Yeah, well, why don't you just mention Ed Sheeran's name, and I know he's a great singer.
All right, here we go. All right, we'll do it again. I like to have a good voice, like the singer, that singer.
Which one, the English singer?
Yeah.
Sting?
Nope.
Ed Sheeran?
Why'd you guess him second?
Because, like, you're going through great singers, and Ed Sheeran will be up
all
there.
Right, I'll choose another singer.
No, I've just given you a
no, because you knew we were getting
example.
To Ed Sheeran. I'll give you another singer, right? I'm thinking of one now. I'd love to have a great voice, like...
Luther Vandross.
No.
Ed Sheeran.
No.
Sting.
No.
Well, I don't know.
Right, now if I give you a description...
Go on, then.
Ginger.
Elton John.
Yes.
I nearly fell off. Right, well, so what
we got? We got more questions.
Where did we go? Where, how did we get to that?
We've
come
got
on,
another
let's
question.
Go. Yeah,
we got another question. Right, next question. Okay, are we close? I feel we're closer after that one. Yeah. Is there something? Not something, which a lot of people say, and it drives me
something.
Fucking.
It's horrible, isn't it?
I can't remember something. 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 What? My mum does that all the time. Something. Is there something that you've dreamed of doing for a long time and why haven't you done it? Now, I think we should add in the sporting world for you, like maybe you think, oh, I never scored a goal there or I'd love to. And or in the social world.
World Cup. Playing in the World Cup. Missed out on it.
That's because of injury, isn't it?
Injury, form, whatever.
Do you think, would Michael Owen have been in that team to score that goal had you been fit?
Yeah. Michael Owen was going to go in 98.
Oh, okay.
Because he already told me. He already told me that I'm going. I knew that Michael Owen was going. Because I told you, because after I went into the room and he told me I was going. I thought he was calling me in the room to tell me I weren't going. So that was a frightening thing, because I've had that with Graham Taylor before. You know what I mean? I weren't going. I had it with Terry Venables. But like, when he called me, I thought, oh, fuck.
When who called you?
Glenn Hoddle.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, oh, fuck, I'm not. And you know what? I wanted to cry then when he said, yeah, Ian, yeah, need to see you. I think, I don't know, about half two. I'll give you a call, let you know. And I thought, you know, when you fucking slide off like that. Because I was desperate and I knew it was my last chance. So when he called me in.
You coughed,
like I said,
by
Gazza,
you just coughed there.
I see. I didn't. I don't know when it's happening.
Okay.
But once ain't bad.
No.
So obviously I went in after Gazza when it all went wrong for Gaz. And then when he told me and I came out, I went back to the room and fuck, burst into tears. And then obviously, you know, last game was against Morocco,
yeah,
warm-up game.
You've told us this, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, pulled my hamstring and I weren't going. So if there's a dream that I had, and I don't want to be playing in the World Cup because I want to score a winning goal and do this, and I just want to be there to be able to have a chance to do that, because it's not the same if you say things like, yeah, because now that I've grown up and done a lot of stuff, wanted to score in the FA Cup final, wanted to score for England, want to win the league, want to win the FA Cup, you know, stuff like that. When you actually do stuff like that, I think I would just like to be able to just go to the World Cup and see what happens there. So, you know, like if somebody said, okay, the devil's come back and he's given you, you have to sell your soul, but you can go to the World Cup and you can win the World Cup. It wouldn't be the same. I say, I would rather sell my soul to the devil to just come back and have the opportunity to go, not because you want to make the moments. You don't want to know, yeah, I've gone back and yeah, well, I'm going to score in the final and I'm going to win it. So that's nothing. You know, that's not how I'd want to do it. So all I'd want is if I could have the dream is to just play in the World Cup for England.
Last question. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know? What a question that is. Got a crystal ball in front of you. Here, put your helmet in front of you. Move your helmet. Look at your little face. You've made a penis gag. So...
I don't need to put the
helmet. Put the helmet in front of you.
I don't need to for the crystal ball thing.
It's, put your helmet. I mean, so it works. Put your helmet in front of
you. It doesn't work. Fuck's sake, and it's just
it's
like...
a shiny helmet you got there. Put your hand on your helmet.
There it is, yeah.
I got right. It. Crystal ball. You can tell the future. Mm-hmm. What do you want to know?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Does war break out?
Oh, my God. Well, war's always broke. We're...
I'm talking about proper, like, World War II, where the whole world's involved. And the whole world will be at risk. Because we're talking about, like, proper, like, the next time. You know, when you got... We're talking about when you watch these films and, like, robots take over and
Terminator. Genocide
and all that sort of stuff. I'd want to know, does that happen?
Right. If it did, what would you do?
Well, what could I do?
Well, why would you want to know then?
Because I want to know for my kids.
Okay, so you found out it does. Happens in a month. What are you gonna say to your kids? How old are your kids?
8 and 6.
Brilliant. And what are you going to say to the 6-year-old?
No,
I've got good news and bad news. Well, I've got you're not
my
older kid.
I've got like 8, 6. You know what I mean? 19, 23.
Right.
Them guys.
You say nothing to the young. Nothing to the youngsters.
I wouldn't say anything to anyone.
Well, we just said for my kids.
Yeah, but I want to find out because I want to know if they're going to have a future.
Right. Well,
I want to know in the future that war does not break out. Right. I want to know that in the future.
No, but that's things, not.
Let me finish. I want to know that in the future, does climate control? Have we messed that up? Those are the kind of things I want to know now.
But what are you going to do with that info?
Yeah, but Scott, you're saying I don't know what I could do with the info. You're asking me what I'd want to know.
Yeah, but surely you want to know something to benefit you.
Yeah, but how's it going to benefit me?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, but are you asking me something I want to know? I want to know that. It's not about benefiting me. I want to know, the world going to be a nice place, a safe place in the future? That's the main thing, because that's all I think about now. You know, is the world going to be a place? Is it going to be safer on all that sort of stuff around us? You know, that's all I want to know. Nothing else, really. There's nothing else, really, that I want like that, and I just want to know that the world's going to be a nice place to live.
Do you know what I want to know?
What?
There's another cough.
Saying there's another cough there.
I was going to say about your cough, I was going to say, I think it's when you only talk about football.
Don't talk bollocks.
Well, when you talk football, watch. You haven't got a cough yet, all right? Okay? Tell me about your favourite kit you played at Arsenal.
It was the banana, the bruised banana.
See?
What are you lying for? That's
what do you mean the bruised banana? What does that mean?
It's the yellow one with the...
Oh, you were going to cough. You were. You held it in.
I was just testing you.
Held it in. Go on, tell me about the banana kit.
Yeah, it's the first one we played in at Arsenal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You would have got, don't you?
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'm not going to cough.
Go on, tell me about the kit.
No, you know about it. Everybody knows about it.
I want to hear it. I want you to talk about it. Because that cough's going to come out.
It's not going to come out.
Tell me about the kit.
No. Let's move on.
Well, that's it. That's all we've got time for.
You're joking.
No.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.